Blog Talk Radio.
I come on my knees to lay down before you, bringing all that I am, longing only to know you, seeking your face, and not only your hand. I find you embracing me just as I am. And I'll sing to you in my praises, make your home to my audience of one. You are Father and you are Son. As your spirit flows free, let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more, come my great reward, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. I only desire to be yours, Lord. So what could I bring to honor your majesty? What song could I sing that would move the heart of royalty? When all that I have is this life that you've given me, so Lord, let me live for you, my song with humility. And Lord, as the love song of my life is played, I have one desire, to bring glory to your name. To my audience of one, you are Father and you are Son. As your spirit flows free, let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more has become my great reward, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. I only desire to be yours, Lord.
Lift your hands in heaven
tonight. Lord, you're holy.
Lord, you're holy.
Thank you. Come on, praise him out loud right where you are. Worship. Hallelujah. 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 You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name.
For another opportunity, God, to sit before your people on tonight, God, to tell them what thus says the Lord. I thank you for giving me the strength, God, to bring forth this message, God. I thank you for giving me the revelations the way that you have on tonight, God, to be a blessing unto your people, to make some things clear to your people on tonight. And I pray that everybody that needs to receive would be present, if not now, then later on, and receive what you have for them on tonight, so that they will be blessed and so that your name may get the glory. In the name of Jesus, to God be glorified. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Prolific Fire, everybody. I am your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing unto you. Let's get right into it for tonight. The foundational text comes from Genesis 29, verses 14 through 25. That's Genesis 29, verses 14 through 25. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Again, that's Genesis 29, verses 14 through 25, NIV. Now, there's a lot of powerful topics that can be drawn from tonight's foundational text. For example, when a man really loves a woman the way that Jacob loved Rachel, he doesn't mind working. He doesn't mind keeping a job. Oh, no, 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 he doesn't mind working. He doesn't mind keeping a job. But I'm not here to talk about that on tonight. Nor am I here to give any thought to Jacob wanting what he saw. The Bible says Rachel had a lovely figure and she was beautiful. Therefore, Jacob being a man, and we all know how men are, Jacob being a man wanted what his eyes saw. But I'm not here to talk about that on tonight either. Nor am I here to analyze just how is it possible to be in the bed with someone up close and personal and still not know the true identity of the person you're laying with. Jacob, how is that possible? Just how does that work? How is that possible? But as I said, I'm not here to talk about any of that on tonight. Somebody might say, "Well, probably say, what are you here to talk about?" I'm glad you brought up the question. What I'm here to talk about subject tonight is something I've never heard preached from this particular text, but it's something I feel is equally as important as the rest of what has been said from this text. And believe me, we've heard many things preached from this text, I'm quite sure, but not this. God wanted me to address how some employers deliberately take advantage of their employees, how some employers deliberately take advantage of their employees, working them, but then failing to promote them, working them, but underpaying them, or simply not giving them what they work for up front, or simply not giving them what they work for up front, as was the case with Jacob in tonight's foundational text. God called it, and this is interesting, God called it job abuse. And so that's the title of tonight's message, job abuse. If you work or have ever worked a 9-to-5, if you work or have ever worked a 9-to-5, you know the kind of unfair treatment that can go on in the workplace. You already know the kind of unfair treatment, the kind of sexism, the kind of racism, so many other things that can go on in the workplace. Here in tonight's text, it sounds, now pay close attention to this, it sounds like Laban was trying to be fair when he said that Jacob shouldn't work for him for nothing just because they're relatives, just because they're family. And he told him to name his wages. It sounds like he's trying to be fair, not take advantage of a relative, not take advantage of a family member. But really, was he really? So Jacob then asked that his wages be Rachel. So Jacob took him up on the offer and asked that his wages be Rachel, married to Laban's daughter, Rachel. That's what he wanted his wages to be, married to Laban's daughter, Rachel. But instead of Laban explaining to Jacob, here it comes, instead of Laban explaining to Jacob that it was not customary in their culture for the younger daughter to get married before the older, instead of explaining it to him, so in order for him to marry Rachel in real time, he would have to marry Leah first. Instead of explaining it to Jacob, Laban said, this is what he said, totally unfair. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. He made it sound like he was in full agreement with giving Rachel to Jacob up front with no strings attached. So Jacob had worked all those 7 years straight. So Jacob had worked all those 7 years straight for Rachel's hand in marriage, every day getting closer to what he thought would be their wedding day. But he was working hard, being a faithful employee, and it was all under false pretense. Jacob had been led to believe that if he would just put in the 7 years on the job, he would be paid his desired wages. He was led to believe that if he would just put in 7 years on the job, he would be paid his desired wages, which was to marry Rachel. Somebody, I know you can relate. I know you can relate already. And I'm not fully off into this message yet, but I know you can relate, because you were led to believe that if you put your time in on that job, there would be promotion. But promotion never came. There would be a significant raise in pay, but it never happened. You were told that if you would just put a certain amount of time in, you were led to believe that there would be a promotion, led to believe that there would be a significant raise in pay. But as I said, it never happened. Your employer deliberately twisted his or her words to sound like they were trying to be fair, just like Laban did with Jacob. It sounded like he was trying to be fair, but really he wasn't. Your employer deliberately twisted his or her words to sound like they were trying to be fair, when fairness was really the furthest thing from their mind. Help them, Lord, because fairness was really the furthest thing from their mind. It's sad to say, but these days, you have to try and read between the lines. You have to try and read between the lines. Hear what's really being said to you and not just what's being implied to you. These days, you have to try to read between the lines and hear what's really being said to you and not just what's being implied to you. Laban implied that it would be better that he give his daughter Rachel to Jacob, but he never said specifically the details that would have to take place to make it happen. He implied it, but he never said anything about the details that would have to take place to make it happen. Beloved, those of us with some church attendance in our DNA, we need to stop thinking of discernment as something that's spiritual. We need to stop thinking of discernment as something that's spiritual and only needed in the church to cast out demons. Yeah, I said we need to stop thinking of discernment like that, like it's only spiritual and only needed in the church to cast out demons. Real discernment is spirit-based. Sure, real discernment is spirit-based, but it's needed more in the world, more in the workplace than in the church. Real discernment is spirit-based, but it's needed more in the world, more in the workplace than in the church. I mean, come on, let's be real. You know I like to be real on Philippify. I mean, let's be real. Everybody already knows Deacon so-and-so ain't right in the church, etc. There's enough authentic, real church mothers still in the church that will warn you to stay away from that particular deacon or that particular person because he has some issues still on the altar. There's enough authentic, real church mothers still in the church that will warn you, especially if you're a baby Christian coming in, they will warn you to stay away from that particular deacon, that particular person, because he has some issues still on the altar. Church mother, they're not going to tell you what the issues are specifically, but they will warn you to stay away from him because he has some issues still on the altar. But who's there to warn you on Monday morning? That's my question. But who's there to warn you on Monday morning that boss is not being completely straight with you? But who's there on Monday morning to warn you that boss is not being completely straight with you? That he or she is implying only so much. That he or she is implying only so much while really saying meaning so much more. They implying only so much, but really they're saying and meaning so much more. Who's there to warn you about that? Who's there to warn you that contract you're about to sign is not on the up and up? Who's there to warn you about that? Who's there to warn you to read the fine print, read what's not being said to you? Who's there to do that? Because we already know there are demons in the church, because we already know there are demons in the church. We already know that. It's old news. But God says there are demons in high places that are about to be dismantled. But God says there are demons in high places that are about to be dismantled. Again, there are demons in high places that are about to be dismantled. God says there are demons in high places that are about to be dismantled. How? That's where discernment comes in. Remember I said we need it more outside of the church than in the church, because we already know about Deacon so-and-so and this person and that person. We already know. Need it more outside of the church. That's where discernment comes in. Google defines discernment as the ability to obtain sharp perception or judge well. Again, Google defines discernment as the ability to obtain sharp perception or to judge well. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 16, from the ESV, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." In other words, God has put us out here in these streets out here on these jobs, in various workplaces among wolves. And in order to make it, we must be innocent, but yet wise. God has put us out here in these streets, out here on these jobs, in various workplaces among wolves. And in order to make it, we must be innocent, but yet wise. We must be innocent. No room to be publicly naive. There's no room to be publicly naive. No. In order to be innocent, but yet wise, you must have discernment. In order to be innocent, but yet wise, you must have discernment, the ability to perceive or judge well. However, discernment is not something I can teach. I wish it was, but it's not. Discernment is not something I can teach. Discernment is not taught. Discernment is not taught, but received through spending time with God and through fasting. Discernment is not taught, but received through spending time with God and through fasting. Think with me. You know I like to make you think on Politifier. Think with me, back to the book of Genesis. Had Eve spent more time in the garden with God, her appetite for the things of God would have been so much stronger than her appetite for the things of this world. I say it again. Had Eve time in the garden with God, her appetite for the things of God would have been so much stronger than her appetite for the things of this world. And there is no way she would have been enticed to eat the fruit of that tree just because it looked good. And there's no way she would have been enticed to eat the fruit of that tree just because it looked good. Side note, many of you have fallen into lust based on the way a thing looks. Many of you have fallen into lust based on the way a thing looked. Lust is not always about a person's body. Let's get that straight. Lust is not always about a person's body or physical appearance. Lust is not always about a person's body or physical appearance. Many of you have fallen into lust based on the way of things. That's my side note. But that's my side note. Okay. Back to what I was talking about. Discernment. Discernment is not something that can be taught. It must be received through, number one, spending time with God, and number two, fasting. I didn't understand it before, but I thank God now because I understand. Through the revelation he gave me in this message, I understand. I didn't understand before, but I understand now. God wants us to fast so that one appetite will be stronger than the other. God wants us to fast so that one appetite will be stronger than the other, so that your spiritual appetite will be stronger than your natural appetite, so that your spiritual appetite will be stronger than your natural appetite, stronger than your appetite for the things of this world. From the NIV says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. That's the discernment that came while they were worshiping. That's the discernment that came while they were worshiping, which is a part of spending time with God and fasting. The discernment came while they were worshiping, a part of spending time with God, and fasting. The Holy Spirit began to speak and tell them specifically what to do. That's the kind of real discernment that God says is about to dismantle demons in high places. On your job, in the workplace, in the doctor's office, in the hospitals, in the political world, etc. That's the kind of real discernment that is going to dismantle demons in high places. Remember, I told you that first here on Prolific Fire. Otherwise, those of you on a job, you will remain hungry for the money. If you don't get your appetite scraped and start fasting and spending time with God so that your appetite spiritually will be stronger than your natural appetite or your appetite for the things of this world. Those of you on the job, you will remain hungry for the money, hungry for that position, hungry for what you think that job has to offer. you. If you put time in, if you put the time in, so you clock in and you clock out. Some of you think you're being sexually harassed. Some of you, you think you're being sexually harassed. But still, you clock in and you clock out. Knowing you can't block out what was said to you and or done to you. It looked like his hands just slipped. It looked like his hand, just a good question, but did it? Or did she intentionally just do what she did? Notice how I went from he to she, because this incident happened both ways. There's no sexual harassment gender. There's no such thing as sexual harassment gender. Sexual harassment has no one gender. But they are wolves among us, demons, leaving just enough unsaid and unclear to avoid a lawsuit. You think you're being sexually harassed, but you're not sure, because they are wolves among us, demons, unsaid and unclear to avoid a lawsuit. Somebody, if you never listen to another thing, I'm telling you, listen to this. Stop arguing with wolves. Stop arguing with wolves and with demons, and get in your prayer closet. Stop arguing with them, wolves and demons. Stop arguing with them and get in your prayer closet. It doesn't have to be an actual closet, but just where and how you spend time with God and fast to build up your discernment. Get in your prayer closet, spend time with God and fast to build up your discernment. Stop arguing with them. Otherwise, things won't stop. They will still tell half-truths, which we know are lies, and cheat you out of what was implied to be a front. They will still tell half-truths, which are lies. That's all a half-truth is a lie, and cheat you out of what was implied to be a front, just like Laban did Jacob. Jacob clocked in and clocked out working for Laban. And the Bible says years later, when he finally wanted to take his wives, Leah and Rachel, and their children, and return to his homeland and finally do something for his household, Laban told him how blessed he was because of his association with him there on the job. So again, he asked him to name his wages for staying, of course. Name his wages for staying, of course. Read Genesis 30, verses 25 through 30. That's Genesis 30, verses 25 through 30. Somebody, you put so many hours in on that job that you barely have time to do something for your household. You put so many hours in on that job that you barely have time to do something for your household, and you're wondering when it would be your time to do something for your household. As a matter of fact, this whole message thus far has been making you think. This whole message thus far really has been making you think. So while you're thinking, can I give you a few last things to think about? Somebody, can I give you a few last things to think about? In Genesis 31, Jacob says he's noticed a change in his attitude towards him, meaning he's noticed a change in Laban's attitude towards him. He don't act the way he used to act. This is Jacob talking to his wife, talking to Leah and Rachel. Not what it was before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I work for your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. That's Genesis 31, verses 5 through 7. Again, that's Genesis 31, 5 through 7 from the NIV. After he had worked for Laban with all his strength, one commentary said, altogether, Jacob had worked for Laban. You ready for this? Are you ready for this? One commentary said, altogether, Jacob had worked for Laban 20 years. 20 years. a lifetime, 20 years, and still he cheated him, changed his wages. Somebody, you can't relate because your paycheck goes up and down on the regular. You feel like you're coming up short on the regular. It's something to think about, isn't it? And God called it job abuse. Tonight, in closing, I would like to leave you with 5 scriptures to take into your prayer closet. I want you to take these 5 scriptures into your prayer closet. Remember, I told you it don't have to actually be a prayer closet, but just wherever you spend time with God, however you spend time with God, praying, reading the word, worshiping, fasting, just however you do that, take these 5 scriptures with you. Number 1, first scripture I want you to take with you, because we got to get some word on it, because God is about to dismantle some demons in high places. Leviticus 19, verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. That's Leviticus 19 and 13. Number Jeremiah 22, verse 13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. Again, it's Jeremiah 22 and 13. Both scriptures are from the King James Version. Okay, number 3. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor, and account on it. I didn't call you poor. The word of the Lord said, poor. We just gonna assume that you really, really need the money. We're gonna leave it at that. Pay them their wages each day, counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. You get in your prayer closet and you cry to God, because that employer, he or she is sinning against you by holding your wages, by not giving you what you have worked for. And that's Deuteronomy 24 and 15. Again, it's Deuteronomy 24 and 15 from the NIV. Okay, that's number 3. Number 4, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned, because you earned that money. So you get in there and you tell God about it. Tell God how that employer is sinning against you, how they're guilty of sin, because they're holding from day to day what belongs to you. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. That's Romans 4 and 4, NIV. Again, this is, again, number 5 is also Romans 4 and 4 from the Amplified Bible. Same scripture, but just another translation. Now, to a laborer, his wages are not credited as a favor. Don't let them trick you, say, you did me a favor in this particular area, or this was off the clock, this was just a favor you were doing me. No, it is not a credit to them as favor or a gift, but as an obligation, something owed to him. That money was owed to you. You earned it. You worked for it. So I want you to go into your prayer closet and go into war over what is yours. Again, that's Romans 4 and 4 from the Amplified. And I'm just going to agree with you. Amen. So be it in Jesus' name. Take these scriptures in your prayer closet. It's time to get God in on the fight. Time to get God in on the fight. This concludes tonight's message. If you need prayer, a Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690. You can call or text 865-408-8690 or email prophetessaysatprolificfire.com. Prophetessaysatprolificfire.com. I'll be on the phone lines right now via Block Talk Radio. and you have a specific prayer request that's unrelated to what the Lord just brought in our hearing on tonight, because you should have received all that by faith and know that you've already won the battle that's going on in the workplace among you. You've already won that battle by faith. But if you have another prayer request that's unrelated to that, here are the phone rules for tonight. Get your prayer request in your head and press 1. Press 1 on your phone. You can begin to do that right now. Press 1 on your phone. I will call out your area code, nothing more. Just your area code to let you know I'm talking to you and you are about to be on the air. But wait until you hear me say hello and properly greet you before you start talking. That way, not only will God hear your prayer request, but I'll hear it and proceed accordingly. That's important. I need to hear it as well as God hears it to proceed accordingly. So wait until you hear me properly greet you before you begin to talk. Go ahead and mash 1, and I'll get right back to you. Now the announcement. If you need this ministry's PayPal info or Cash App info, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire. Or you can use the Cash App and simply Cash App it to the $ Prolific Fire. Cash App it to the $ Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital. The F in Fire is capital. You know you have the right Cash App when you see the fire sword. It's the symbol for Prolific Fire Ministry. It's a fire. It's a sword with some fire coming up out of it. Because the name of this ministry is Prolific Fire, and God is a consuming fire, meaning he's holy. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Property Safety, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, you can contact me on either one of those. People do all the time if you need to. That's fine. Check out ProlificFire.com. The name just now can also be done on the website, and you don't have to have Cash App or PayPal to donate on the website if you desire to. Also, you can sponsor Child Through Word Vision on the website. I've been a sponsor over 20-something years, and I've been a Word Vision Child Ambassador for over a year or so, loving every minute of it. I love to connect children with sponsors. So if you want to be a sponsor, want to know more about that, please go to the website, prolificfire.com, or call me at the number that I just gave out, which is 865-408-8690, because I have 3 children that are in need of sponsors. All 3 are girls, they're 5 years old, from different parts of the world. So if you want to be a part of it, contact me. Also, if you need prayer, like I said, or Bible-based consultation, that's the number to call. Then make sure you join us on Friday night if you don't get your prayer request in on tonight for whatever reason, or maybe perhaps you will. Then you can call back in just to be in an atmosphere of prayer, because you can never get too much. God will be there with us, so be sure to join. It's Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. It's Faith on the Line with Prophet, same number that many of you call tonight, which is 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Your prayer request will be taken then too, so call in. Call in. Like I said, whether you have a prayer request or not, still call in and just get in the atmosphere. You won't regret it. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, to hear what else God wants to say. Because I'm not sure. I have several messages coming up, but I don't know what God wants to say next. So we're going to see. I'm going to go into my prayer closet, and we're going to see. So just stay tuned for that coming up next Monday. To God be the glory. I'm coming to the phone line.
Well, everybody, it looks like there's nobody on the phone line tonight in need of prayer. If so, you know how to reach me. But I want to go over the scriptures that I want you to take into your prayer closet again. There was Leviticus 19, verse 13, Jeremiah 22, verse 13, both from the King James Version. And then there was Deuteronomy 24, verse 15. From the NIV, and then there was Romans 4:4 from the New Living Translation, and Romans 1:4 from the Amplified. I will be posting these scriptures on social media. So if you didn't get them, don't worry about it. Just check my social media page. With that being said, if you need me for prayer or anything, you know how to reach me or contact me on social media. Until then, have a blessed night, everybody. I'm out.